We're in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Now, this message was preached in Dingwall, or Cape North, on Sunday, the 23rd of November, 2014. But the recording, something happened to it, and it didn't work properly. So I am going to speak this lesson in now. I regret this because it's not the same dynamic as in a message. But here we are. We're going to go through it and look in John chapter 11. Now we're going to look at the bulk of this chapter in one lesson here as we listen to this story, a true story, an account of what happened to a man named Lazarus, and we're going to learn some lessons as we go along. So a certain man was sick, John 11:1. Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now we know that Mary did this shortly after the resurrection of Lazarus, and John is looking back and pointing out this is the same Mary. So these two sisters sent to him, John 11:3, saying to him, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not for death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Now when we consider this story, and we look at what happens here, we know that there's an affinity, a closeness between Jesus and Martha and Mary and Lazarus. This brother and two sisters, he was close to them. He visited in their home. And Jesus was away from there. It's estimated about a day's journey. And so a messenger was sent. And the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And so they were pointing out to Jesus the truth that he already knew, that he loved Lazarus, and the fact that he was sick. Now, what do you think they wanted? They wanted him to come and to heal him. So the messenger leaves the sisters, heads on a day's journey to visit, to send the message to Jesus, and of course it was in hopes that Jesus would return with the messenger and that Lazarus would be made well. Because they had already seen what the Lord could do. They had seen the miraculous more than once. So what's interesting, if we just jump ahead for a second, we find out when he came to the tomb at the end of this story that Lazarus was 4 days dead. So when they sent this man to make the trip, and Jesus stayed two more days where he was, that's 3 days, and then he took him a day's journey to get there, that's 4 days. So what we discover then is just after the messenger left, Lazarus died. So by the time the messenger got to Jesus to tell him that Lazarus was sick, Lazarus was already dead for a day. Now, we look at Jesus' response to this, and it's the first thing that Jesus said is, this sickness is not to death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So Jesus says, this is the message he had. It says, this sickness is not unto death. Now, maybe the messenger headed back to Martha and Mary with an assurance in his heart that Lazarus was going to live, because Jesus said, this sickness is not to death, but it's for the glory of God, that the Son of God is glorified through this sickness. God can take the worst circumstances and bring glory. Oh, friends, he can, and he often does. And so if you're going through a hard circumstance right now, God can use it for his glory if you will trust him. Well, the servant goes back. He heads home. And he heads back to tell the words of Jesus. And we discover there that in John 11:5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. There was no question that he loved them. But then the next verse says, so when he heard he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. That almost seems like an oxymoron. You would think if he loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus so much, he would have went back with the messenger. But he didn't. He stayed there. It must have been a puzzle, even for the messenger as he returned, even though he had that word. But imagine the shock of that messenger when he got back to Martha and Mary to discover that Lazarus was in the tomb, dead. They didn't hang around after somebody died. They put them right in the tomb at the very same time. So I wonder what he thought and what the sisters thought when he came back to saying, well, Jesus said it, this sickness is not for death, not to death, but getting back and finding Lazarus dead. Listen, sometimes we don't understand what God's doing. Sometimes we don't see the whole picture. And sometimes we think, man, it doesn't seem as if God's word is true in this matter. It is always true, friends. They didn't know. They didn't see the end of what the story was going to be, and neither do you. You don't see the end of the story. So when you're in it, trust the Lord. Trust that His word is true, even when it seems as if it's not. And surely it would have seemed if it was not when he got back and found Lazarus dead, buried in the tomb for a day. But Jesus knew what he was doing. Jesus wasn't confused about it at all. He loved them, but there were lessons that they needed to know. He loved them, but that didn't mean that he was going to do everything the way they wanted. He's God, not them. And my friend, he's God and not you. Trust the Lord. So after those 2 days, in John 11:7, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the Judea is where Lazarus was. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Are you going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. That's a kind of a different answer for Jesus to give when they just straightforwardly said, you know that the Jews want to kill you. Are you daring to go down to Judea right now? It's kind of a hot spot for you. But Jesus gives this kind of answer. He says, I'm walking in the light. And because I'm walking in the light, I know where I'm going. Because I know where I'm going, I'm not going to stumble. I am walking in the will of the Father. So I can walk into whatever the circumstances there are with confidence that God is in control. Are you walking in the light? You can walk in the same light. You can walk in dependence upon God and be found in your life at the right place at the right time. And knowing that you're in the center of the will of God. Someone has said the safest place you can be is in the center of God's will. I pray that each one of us would walk in the light and not be stumbling around in the dark. God knows what He's doing. Put your hand in His and trust Him, and He will lead you. He promised to do that, just as we saw in John chapter 10, that the Good Shepherd leads His own sheep, calls them out by name, and He leads them. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. So his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes I was not there that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. So when the disciples heard that Lazarus was sleeping, they said, oh, he's okay then. If he sleeps, he's going to get better. But Jesus wanted them to understand that it was of his death. Here he refers to death as sleep, not as annihilation, not as a cessation of existence, but he refers it as sleep. And it is the sleep of the body, but it is not the sleep of the soul, as we can find in many other passages of Scripture. So finally, Jesus had to make it clear to them, what I'm telling you is that he's dead, and yet we're going to go to him. Well, Thomas, you know who Thomas was. He was called Doubting Thomas because he said, unless I see the print of the nails and put my fingers in and my hand in his side, I will not believe, because he wasn't there when the resurrected Jesus appeared to the others. Of course, when he saw him, he fell down before him and said, my Lord and my God. He worshipped him. And Jesus said, how blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. But maybe you're hard on Thomas, but he did say this. He said to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Thomas was ready to die. He knew that if Jesus went back to Judea, persecution would come, and perhaps even death itself. And so, but he was not arguing with the Lord, he was ready to go. He was ready to walk into death for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he said, let us go that we may die with him. Now, of course, that's not what happened, because God had a plan. And I want you to know, and I want to remind you of that, God has a plan for your life. Walk in his plan. The best place for those disciples to be was to be walking towards Jerusalem. The most logical place for them to be was to stay as far away from it as possible, because of the fact that they wanted to kill him. But the best place is to be in the center of the will of God. So when Jesus came, he found he had already been in the tomb 4 days. So there's the 4 days. 1 day for the servant to come, 2 days of Jesus waiting, and a day's journey back. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. So many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. So we discover the first statement of Martha was, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She knew, she had every confidence that Jesus Christ would have healed him. She knew that he would heal him. Matter of fact, when she sent for Jesus, when they sent for Jesus, they didn't say, will you come and heal him? They took it for granted that once he knew that Lazarus was sick, that he would come running. And yet, he told them it wasn't to death, the message was delivered, and he didn't show up for days later. So it was a puzzler for them, and there was a challenge in it. She said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But remember, it seems as if there is a note of despair here, which obviously would be there in the face of death. But listen to her statement next. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Isn't there a hint here? Isn't there a strong statement that she was still hopeful? That even now, there was hope. So whatever you think of Martha in this passage of Scripture, as she challenges the Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died, there is a tremendous statement of faith here. And let me tell you, that statement was going to be tested. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. So Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Martha missed something in that statement. Jesus said, your brother will rise again, and he was speaking about the immediacy of it. Not the resurrection at the last day, but Martha figured he had to be talking about the resurrection at the last day. Well, friends, God means what he says. Praise the Lord that he does. And we can take his word to be true. And Jesus then spoke to Martha And he makes this profound statement that has been quoted over and over again through the centuries. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? What a profound statement this is, friends. When Jesus would say, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, listen, Martha, we're not talking last day here. We're talking me, and I'm standing in front of you, and I am the resurrection and the life. It doesn't have to wait till the last day. I'm here. Oh, what a startling statement. Oh, how important it was for Martha to hear those words and to see you're standing in front of the King of the universe. You're standing in front of the one who has conquered and who will conquer death. Martha's case, it was will. In our case, he has. He is the resurrection and the life. He brings life to the dead. He says, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Though there is a physical death, he lives. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Notice, never die. Never be separated. Death is separation from. Yes, you'll be separated from this physical world, but you will never die in a relationship with God. That is ongoing. Oh, praise the Lord that Jesus makes this so clear here, so that we can know that Jesus is the one to go to for life. That Jesus is the one whom, if we believe in him, we have eternal life. Notice John 11:26, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. How important it is while you are living to trust in the Lord. Don't wait until the afterlife. If you do, it will be too late and you'll be cut off from the presence of God. So he says to Martha, do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Oh, praise the Lord for Martha's confession of faith here. She said, yes, Lord, I believe. And she identified who Jesus was, the Messiah, the Son of God. This Messiah, this wonderful Savior, praise the Lord. And so, as soon it says, as she said this, she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. So Mary, as soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. And so there's a crowd following Mary as she goes out to meet Jesus. And what does Mary say? When they came, Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Oh, she was filled with mourning, but she also recognized who Jesus was. She didn't stand with her hands on her hip and accuse him, but she fell down. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Oh, there was deep lament. Martha had the same lament. Oh, it's too late. Almost, in the words here is, oh, if only you had come sooner. If only you were here. Oh, friends, yes, the wall of death seems impossible. Yes, it seems impenetrable. But I want you to know tonight, or today, or whatever time you're listening to this message, that God is the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And no wall is too high for the Lord. He can tear down those walls. He can breach even death itself. Indeed, he has. He has undone the power of death through the cross of our Lord Jesus. And there he has taken our sin, our death, our punishment, our hell. And he has risen from the dead victorious. And you can experience the fullness of that resurrection life. So Mary says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He is touched, the Bible says, with the feelings of our infirmities. He feels our pain. And here he felt their pain. Did he know what he was going to do? Absolutely. He knew, because we had that statement from the very beginning, the sickness is not to death. But nevertheless, he was living in the moment, and he saw their pain, and he felt the weight of it. Jesus knows that all of his saints are going to be gathered home. But in that journey, we at times will be weeping, and we will be in distress. And the Bible teaches us in the person of the Holy Spirit that he will be there. He will groan for us. The Bible says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. He is touched with the feelings of our weakness. So Jesus said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And now we see the extent of Jesus' compassion, as it tells us in this verse, Jesus wept. Oh, this reveals the heart of the Lord to us. The heart that's full of mercy and grace and compassion, that weeps over sinners, that weeps over death and weeps over what it produces. Now, he knew that he was going to raise him from the dead. So he wasn't weeping for himself in the sense that he wasn't going to see Lazarus anymore. He was weeping for the results of what death has produced in the world, the sorrow, the heartache, the emptiness that people experience. Oh, my friend, Jesus still weeps today. He is still full of mercy and compassion. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? So, you know, again, it's really the third time this is said. If you had been here, you could have made this man well, because he obviously had opened the eyes of the blind. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, oh, he was experiencing the anguish of it, the mourning, the loss, the pain. Jesus understands. When you lose a loved one, he understands. He feels that pain. He came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. This Martha, who said, even now, God will give you whatever you ask. When it came down to the crunch, when it came down to the point where Jesus was going to do the incredible and miraculous and ask that tomb to be opened up, whoa, she protested. She says, whoa, this is not good. This is decay. This is death. Listen, God wants you involved. Jesus could have made the stone disappear. He could have made Lazarus walk through it. But he wanted that stone removed. He wanted that hard barrier to come down. And I want you to know that that's the way Jesus works. He wants you to be involved in taking away the stones. He wants you to be involved to expose the need. He wants you to be involved to not put a stumbling block, but rather to be willing to minister to people. So the Lord Jesus told him, you take away that stone. Because listen, people need to rise from the dead today. People need spiritually to rise from the dead. And that is as great a miracle as the physical resurrection. People have barriers up. Oh, God, give us grace to aid in removing those barriers. So Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you, you have heard me, and I know you always hear me. Because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. So what is Jesus doing? He prays. Before this miracle, we find Jesus praying. Often we find Jesus praying. Here's a little tip. If Jesus felt the need of prayer to do the work that God had called him to, what about you? What should you be doing? I know what I need to be doing, according to this passage and, of course, many others. Again, this was for the glory of God. This was so the people would believe. Now, when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Someone has said if he didn't say the name Lazarus, probably every dead person in the grave would have risen at that time. He had to be specific, and he called him by name. And so he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Well, once again, here is a powerful miracle. Probably the most potent miracle before his own resurrection was this miracle. It pointed to death and resurrection. And it pointed to the faithfulness of God. Well, God raised Lazarus from the dead. And God has called us to be involved in other people being spiritually raised from the dead. The Bible says that unsaved people are dead in their trespasses and sins. Maybe you're listening to this message and you're still dead. You haven't believed in Jesus for yourself. But God can cause you to be resurrected from the dead as you believe in his Son. So Lazarus comes out, but he is bound by grave clothes. He still has the death clothes are still upon him, even though he's free. Now, why did the Lord Jesus allow that to happen? He could have caused him to come out without a grave cloth on him. But what did he do? He wanted the people there involved in this ministry. And he wants all of us involved in ministry. He wants us to be serving. He wants us to be walking with him. So Jesus gave them that command, loose him and let him go. People who come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they got a lot of problems too. And sometimes, even though they're a new creation, even though they have a new beginning, the vestiges of the past can hang on. And sometimes they can end up, it's like they're dragging the old grave clothes around. Well, we can be involved in helping bring healing and helping take those things away that the new believer might enjoy the presence of the Lord and praise and worship him. Can I encourage you to do what the Lord says? Listen to the Lord. Be involved in his ministry. Take away the stone. Maybe you have stones in front of your life where you're unwilling for the Lord Jesus to touch the areas of your life that need to be touched. Take away the stone. Maybe you need to be involved in people's lives and be willing to take the time to break through the walls and the barriers in the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people can be saved. Loose him and let him go. Maybe you need to be one who gets their hands dirty because it was unclean to touch a dead body. And so here Jesus is telling him, go and take those grave cloths off him. That would be a little bit freaky. But they did go. They went. And what a great privilege to help people to have those vestiges, the stink of the past life, the death and the carnage of it, the rot of it to be taken out of their lives. Oh, God wants you to get your hands dirty. God wants you to get into people's lives. And they are messy lives out there. But they need the touch of people to be involved. May the Lord give us grace to be willing to go to anyone and to be a blessing to anyone, for they need that. So, we can see in this story that God knows what he's doing, that God's timing is perfect, and that God will work things out for the good for those who love him, which is a promise which comes later in the Word of God. And that lots of times we're not going to understand how God is doing things, but we can trust him. We understand when Martha let that stone be opened up, there was a great step of faith there. And we understand that God has called us to be involved in service. He could have done it all himself, but he has chosen to use people in his miraculous workings, and he has chosen to use you if you're a Christian. So let me encourage you. Trust the Lord. Discover that he is the resurrection and the life every single day, and be willing to come alongside of the Lord Jesus, trusting him and serving him whatever capacity he calls us to. May Jesus be glorified in your life. May you grasp in a fresh way the glory of the resurrection and life that Jesus is. Even as it may seem that Martha didn't quite grasp the fullness of all of that, I'm sure she did once Lazarus was risen from the dead. May God bless you richly to be found in his service, honoring him, trusting the Lord Jesus, even if he takes you to hard places, impossible walls, places where death is prominent. And may there be victory in Jesus' name.